Now, so for my talk this morning, I would like for you to focus on the screen. It will change probably every 2 to 3 minutes. Give your full concentration in your thought process to the Lord, to the Blessed Mother, to a new kind of growth in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to show up. Focus from this day forward on the Blessed Mother, on the Lord, not on the problems and troubles in your life, not what could have been, should have been, would have been. This is a new day. This is a new beginning. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will bear a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Did you know that Mary, the mother of the child, chose to serve God all of the days of her life, accepting at a very young age the call on her life to have a child, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Did you know that she was just like me, human just like you in every aspect of the word? She was no different than any of us. A very young peasant girl born to Anne and Joachim that said yes when the angel Gabriel appeared, and she followed God all the days of her life. It's time to accept that life with Christ. It's time to make that commitment today, just as Mary did. It's time, just like Isaiah, for each of us to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." The Holy Spirit needs us here on earth to be his mouthpiece, to use us to go out there every day. Every day I say, "Lord, use me. Send me out there. Allow me to touch your people in some way." Of course, this is a surrender, surrendering your life, surrendering your will, giving up the old, and beginning anew. We always think that we're not worthy, we don't deserve to serve. We are worthy. Don't forget that Noah was a drunk, Abraham was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, Leah was ugly, Joseph was abused, Moses had a stuttering problem, Gideon was afraid, Samson had long hair and was a womanizer, Rahab was a prostitute, Jeremiah and Timothy were too young, David had an affair and was a murderer, Elijah was suicidal, Isaiah preached naked, Jonah ran from God, Naomi was a widow, Job went bankrupt, John the Baptist ate bugs, Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So there's no more excuses. God can use us to our full potential. Besides, we aren't the message, we are just the messenger. If we allow the Lord, he will take us to places we've never been before. Your new life in Christ will give you new opportunities that you have never, ever experienced. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Lord is not just calling priests and non-clergy in this day to serve him. We all have a calling on our life. We all have a ministry. Yes, it is to be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, but we all have an obligation to the Lord. We all can begin to be intercessors in prayer for others who are in need. Sow seeds of faith and believe. Trust in the Lord for all things and know it will come to pass. Romans 8 tells us, the longer and closer we walk with God, the more we realize how He uses every opportunity to shape and mold us, to chip, file, and sand the rough edges, as we are gradually conformed to the likeness of His Son. This is His desire for everyone who trusts in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And along our faith journey, we must forgive. In order for us to be forgiven, we must forgive. We often learn through personal experiences how our trials are used to teach us valuable lessons and refine us into children of God with the character of Christ. The testing of your faith develops perseverance, says James 1. Our trials teach us to persevere in the faith and to trust God with all of our hearts. If we want to allow the Lord to begin to use us, we must know, first and foremost, that there are obstacles along the way that present every day. We have to recognize where they're coming from, and we have to move past it. Joel 1:3 reads, we who have been brought into the light of Christ must diligently share our faith with others. Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Our children and our friends will never receive the gift of eternal life because of our faith. Rather, they must be told of God's love and continue to come to Him through a deep and personal faith in Jesus. We all know specific individuals who desperately need to know of His saving grace. We all know fellow believers who need to be encouraged in their faith. Sow seeds of faith. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Our churches are often gatherings for the depressed and troubled who have forgotten or maybe never even heard of the miraculous and loving works of God. May we never become silent about what He has done and continues to do for us, that He has sacrificed radically to change our eternity. An understanding of His gifts ought to so fill our heart that we are compelled to share His ongoing gift with those we love and those God places in our path. We who have begun our walk with Christ should continually share our walk with others. We serve a mighty, awesome God. Let's be light to the world and never let them forget it. 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Giving up control is never easy. It can be scary to face the unknown from the passenger seat, and it can be often offensive to our pride to allow someone else, even God, to take the lead. The roots of self go very deep, but as we learn to complete our trust, God brings us to that wonderful place of peace where we can say, whom have I in heaven but You, Lord? And earth has nothing I desire but You, Lord. And we find that in Psalm 73:25. Though sometimes difficult, there is a great joy and a complete surrender to the will of our Heavenly Father. As we give Him control, as we get out of the driver's seat, as we step back and let Him take over every area of our life, He will show us how to use all for His glory. Ephesians 2:10 reads, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He will give us the tools to accomplish His will, and in the process meet every need and fulfill our deepest desires. You must know that the Lord will never ask you to do anything in this life that is of Him that He doesn't prepare you for or that He already knows that you cannot do. We can do anything through the Lord if we believe and if we trust. God always teaches us about faith and trust by directing us down a path we think is too hard to travel. It's circumstances we don't understand. After all, if we could clearly see and understand, there wouldn't be a need for faith. But we often miss the opportunity to experience the true glory of God because we fail to obey and take the first step. When we say, "Use me, Lord, here I am," then we have to do it His way. It's no longer our way. By working through Joshua, God gave the people confidence in their new leader. By requiring an initial action, by taking the first step, He taught a valuable lesson on obedience and trust. The river did not gradually pull back as the priest approached. Nothing happened to the river until the priests left the safety of the shore and stepped into the water. But God patiently waited for a full commitment before revealing His mighty hand. In my faith walk, the Lord's been using me, and I've learned that it is His way, it's not my way. It's no way that I ever began to imagine or thought. So we must always understand that He is patient with us. He'll allow us to do it our way, but when we begin to do it His way, then the plan will unfold. I often hear from people who are hesitant about giving their life to God, and most of the time they're scared, but what they can't see or understand, they become frozen where they are. They desire to have a more fulfilling life, but they become paralyzed with fear of what they may lose in the process. If we could only see the life we would gain by giving over to the Lord, it's unexplainable how things change. God is waiting on each one of us. He's ready to pull back the floodwaters and lead us into the new land, a land filled with peace, true contentment, and hope. We must commit. Let's trust the Lord with every area of our life. Let's take a firm hold of His hand and boldly step off of that shore. Jesus called the 12 disciples. He didn't draft them. He didn't force them or ask them to volunteer. He chose them to serve Him in a special way. Christ calls us today, each and every one of us. He doesn't twist our arms. He doesn't make us do something we don't want to do. We can choose to join Him, or we can choose to remain behind. When Christ calls you to follow Him, how are you going to respond? The list of the 12 disciples doesn't give us many details, probably because there weren't very many impressive details to tell. Jesus called people from all walks of life, fishermen, political activists, tax collectors. He called common people and uncommon leaders, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. Today, many people think only certain people are to follow Christ, but this was not the attitude of the Master Himself. God can use anyone, no matter how insignificant he or she appears. When you feel small and useless, remember that God uses ordinary people to do His extraordinary work. God is ever interested in the wonderful things that we can do for Him. He is pleased only by our obedience and our trust. In fact, He allows many of our great endeavors to fail simply because they're being pursued without giving Him complete control. We always want to be in the driver's seat. We always want to do it our way. We always think we have the plan. But if one day the Lord says to you, step back and watch how I work, and if you step back and allow Him to do His job, you will see a totally different outcome. We're never to rest in our own strength and ability. Rather, we are to continually to walk by faith. Several hundred years after Gideon, the prophet Isaiah gave the same message. Woe to those who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel. God will lead us into victory, but we must give Him our total trust. When we walk in His victory, we will have the joy of witnessing His empty hand, His mighty hand, and find true fulfillment in bringing Him glory and honor. His victory is never by our strength, savvy, cunning, or intelligence. It's only as we trust Him to work in and through the empty vessels that we are of our life. True victory will only be won as we go into battle with all of Him and without too much of us. It's all about Him. It's not about us. All the glory is for the glory of God, not for us, not for what we accomplish in His name, not for what we do when He uses us. He's using us as willing open vessels. When we enter into this covenant, we're transformed. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is the same transformation referred to by Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Romans 2:29, it is also referred to as the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Romans 8:29, as we continue our walk with God, as we continue our journey with the new and transformed heart, we begin a process of being conformed to the likeness of His Son. This transformation, which begins in our heart, continues for all the rest of our days. We may call this process growth or maturity, but the result is a heart which is becoming more and more like Jesus. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You no longer have to do it alone. You no longer have to think you are alone. You no longer have to be depressed. You no longer have to be broken. There is no love like the love of the Lord in our lives. We have to have faith, trust, and believe, and know that the Lord is going to take care of every problem, every situation, anything that we can never ever imagine. If we turn it over, if we surrender it, He will take care of it. I've been speaking this weekend about sowing seeds in other people's lives. I want the Lord to use me to sow around the world. I want to go out there. I want to travel for Him. And a lot of people say, you know, I can't do that. I can't go across seas. And there's a little poem here that talks about traveling on my knees. Last night, I took a journey to a land across the seas.
I saw so many people there in bondage to their sins. Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go to lands across the sea. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call, and I will hear. It's up to you to be concerned for lost souls far and near. And so I did. I knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease, and with the Savior by my side, I traveled on my knees. As I prayed on, I saw souls saved and twisted persons healed. I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll take the job. Your heart I want to please. I'll heed your call and swiftly go by traveling on my knees."
To branch out is an encounter with others, is to walk by faith. To walk by faith is to be accompanied by grace and to be not far from miracles. And that was a little quote from Anthony Giddens that Father Dan Pazina sent me, and I wanted to share with you. We will break up for your group discussion here. We're just a little bit early, but that's okay. We have things to do today. Your question is going to be, how do you intend to change your present-day living to a new life with Christ? How do you intend to change your present-day living to a new life with Christ? I ask you to surrender, surrender, surrender.